Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody? I hope a little bit better than that after that worship session we just had. How is everybody? There we go. There we go. Well, again, in case you missed it, in case you came in after I gave the welcome, my name is Alex Hanvey, and I am so excited that you have decided to join us this Sunday for our Easter service. And if you're online, thank you so much for being here and being part of this. As today we get to celebrate, as followers of Christ, we get to celebrate the life that Jesus lived, the death that he died for us, because of us, and we get to celebrate the victory over both sin and death through his resurrection. And so I can't wait to share with you today what God's put on my heart. And what that means for us as Christians, what that means for us in our faith, what faith even means. So I'm excited to be able to share this message with you today. And I'm excited to see what God has for you. You see, because as we gather together for Easter, you know, we celebrate, a lot of times you hear people say we're celebrating our faith. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. We're not celebrating the faith that we have, because that would be almost like celebrating ourselves, but rather we are celebrating what and who our faith is in, and that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible is full of scripture, full of verses that talk specifically about faith. 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul writes this when he's talking to the church in Corinth. And he said, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So my question to you this morning as we get started is, do you have faith, or are you living without faith? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I can't thank you enough for this opportunity to be able to open your word, to be able to celebrate and to praise you. Lord Jesus, I pray for you to move in our hearts today like you already have. I pray for you to speak so loud and so clearly through me. I pray, Lord, for me to step out of the way, that everything that is heard is from you. Everything that is felt and witnessed is by you. I pray for your grace and your mercies to be poured out to us, Lord. Open our ears to hear exactly what you would have us to hear. Open our hearts to receive and to believe everything that you would have for us this morning. May you get all the glory. May your blessing be poured out on us. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. So this morning, as we talk about the resurrection, as we talk about our faith as Christians, and the reason that we are here celebrating today, the reason that we have anything to celebrate at all, I have three questions that I want us to walk through this morning, and we're going to do these together. The first is, what is faith? How can you have faith if you don't even know what faith is, right? So the basic definition of faith, if you get down to just a plain what is faith, if you look it up in a dictionary, believing in someone or something, that's it. Pretty simple, right? Believing in someone or something. We can believe, hey, we're all here, right? We're here right now. We believe that we see each other. We believe that this building exists, but for faith is something a little beyond just believing that someone existed or that something existed. Faith is a little bit deeper. And one of the definitions, when I was looking up just the simple definition of faith, it actually had the statement, and it said, based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. It's kind of sad that that is a definition of faith, being a lack of proof. Because as a follower of Christ, as someone who believes in his life, his death, and his resurrection, I don't believe that there's a lack of proof that Christ existed, that Christ lived, that he died, and that he rose again. You see, a lot of people, a lot of Christians may even question the proof that there is of these things. And so maybe we've been there. I know at some point in time I have. I've kind of been afraid to really dig into what faith is all about. What do I truly believe? Because the Bible tells us to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. But how can we give an answer for the hope we have, for the faith that we have, when we're not fully sure what it is that we believe? When we're afraid to dig in and to dive in to God's word. Because there is a reason that God has given us his word. And it's so that we can have faith and proof of what that faith is. You see, people are often afraid of what they may find, or rather what they fear they may not find. And that is why there is some hesitation to really dig in and to learn about what faith is, what we believe as followers of Christ, other than saying, yeah, I believe so that I don't go to hell. But it's more to it than that. There is far more than just having what a lot of people call fire insurance. There's more to the faith of a follower of Christ than that. You see, a lot of times we treat faith kind of like a house of cards. Have you ever seen someone make a house of cards where they stack the cards up and they piece them together and they build upon each other? It's really awesome, right? It looks really cool. It's pretty neat, but they have to protect it, right? They have to shield it from other people bumping into a table or knocking something over, or the wind even blowing a slight breeze coming by, because when that happens, it all comes crashing down, right? You see, that's how a lot of us at some point in time, maybe even now, treat our faith. We feel like we have to protect it, that at any moment somebody could just come by and disprove everything that we say we believe in. But you see, God has given us his word so that faith doesn't have to be so scary. So that faith doesn't have to be so uncertain that we feel like we have to protect it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The author of Hebrews writes this. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. You see, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, our faith is not meant to be just whimsical or just kind of uncertain or unsettling, but rather we're to have confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's not meant to be shifting and unsteady, but rather the complete opposite, to be solid ground for us to stand on, for us to have confidence. It's not meant to be blind. A lot of times we hear the phrase blind faith. Oh, you're just believing blindly. Or, hey, I just got to have blind faith. Not really. God doesn't say that he won't reveal to us what his plans are. We may only know one step at a time. But it's not meant for us to live a blind faith. At the same time, our faith. And a lot of times you hear this about the word hope. You hear people use it and they say, well, I hope that this happens. I hope that it doesn't rain. I hope that I get to go there. I hope that they show up. You see, that's not hope. That's not true hope. That's not where our faith is rooted. That's a wish. That's an uncertainty, not knowing what is to come. You see, our faith is not built upon that. Our faith is not a wish. Our hope is not a wish. We can be certain in these things. We can have confidence. Our faith is confident assurance. That's what the author in Hebrews just said, is that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, our faith is confident assurance, not uncertainty, not wavering, not doubtful, but confident assurance. John 17, verse 8 actually says this. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. That was Jesus talking and praying to God. That was him having communication with the Father. But he says one word that goes against a lack of proof. He said, with certainty, they know that I came from you. They know that you sent me. You see, as followers of Christ, as Christians, we're not meant to live with uncertainty and doubt, but to live with a confident assurance, believing fully and wholeheartedly, believing that what God's word says is true. Now, does that mean that as Christians, or as someone who professes Jesus as Lord, that I will go every day of my life from that point without any doubts, without any questions, without any fear or uncertainty? No. Because we are human. We have questions. We want answers to things. Doesn't mean that you don't believe, but it means that we are human. And God is still working in us to build our faith, to mature our faith. Have you ever asked God this question? God, will you please give me more faith that I can believe? That I can take this next step that you're calling to. God, please give me more faith than what I have so that I can do what you call me to. You see, we want to quantify what faith is. And yes, there is a measure of faith. But maybe it's not so much the quantity of the faith that we have, but first it starts with the purity of the faith that we have. Because Jesus uses an object that is one of the smallest in the world, one of the smaller that you can physically, visibly see, to give an example of how powerful faith is. In Matthew 17, verse 20, this is what he says. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You see, it's not about having faith that can fill an ocean. That doesn't move the mountains. Maybe it can if it's all pure. But what good is that amount of faith if it's diluted and if it's filled with uncertainty and doubt? Can it do more than a mustard seed's worth of faith that is pure, that is certain, that is secure and has assurance in what God's word says? So don't get so caught up on the amount of faith that you have, but just ask God to purify that faith that you have, just like Jesus was saying to his disciples. You see, and that leads us into question number two. Why do we need faith? Or maybe you ask it, what does faith really do for us? Why do we need faith, and what does faith really do? You see, faith allows us in this life to withstand the storms that are around us, the circumstances that come and go, the difficult times, the troubled seasons. You see, a lot of times when we talk about faith and hope, you know, it's hard to imagine what that's like unless it's in the good times. But faith is there even in the hard times, in the bad times, in the ups and the downs. You see, I think about it a lot of times. If you, especially when you talk about hope and being wishful and things of that nature, if you let a leaf, if the wind's blowing really bad and there's a leaf and you let in the air, it just kind of goes wherever the wind takes it. It has no way of withstanding what the wind does or where it pushes it. It just has to go. You see, that's uncertain faith. That's faith that is not rooted and not grounded. But rather, our faith is an anchor that holds us steady in the midst of those storms. Just imagine if you were on a boat, a small boat, and it was in the middle of the ocean and a big storm comes up and the waves are going crazy, the wind's going nuts, and you're just blown wherever the wind and the waves take you. You have no anchor, it's just you in the boat. You can't control it. You can't do anything. You can't tell the boat where to go or where not to go. You're at the mercy of the circumstances and the storm that you find yourself in, but with faith, faith is our anchor. Faith is what holds us steady and holds us in place no matter how bad it gets around us, no matter how crazy the storm of life hits us. We can be secure. We can be rooted and grounded. We can be anchored down in the midst of a storm. Faith also brings the forgiveness of sins. You see, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, talking about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who has faith in Christ receives forgiveness for their sins. Now, it's not just because they chose to believe, but it is because of what he done. It is through Christ that we receive that forgiveness, but it is in faith that we are able to have access to the forgiveness of our sins, to be forgiven. And let me tell you, you can't make this stuff up the way that God plans this out. Because just last week, Tyler was going through our series, Seven Cries from the Cross. And he talked about the two separate goats that the Israelites would use when they were seeking forgiveness of their sins. They would happen once a year. And the first goat Tyler talked about, and he said that this goat had to be sacrificed. Blood had to be spilled in order for forgiveness of sins to occur. You see, it's through our faith in Jesus Christ and in his death on the cross, his sacrifice, that we have the forgiveness of sins. But then Tyler told us about a second goat, one that was placed before all the people, and they would come by and they would lay their hands on this goat, and they would confess their sins that they had committed that entire year. Could you imagine keeping a list of every sin that you have committed? If we're honest, we probably can't keep up with how many we do in one day, much less an entire year. Just imagine what that would feel like, the freedom that comes from transferring your sins, your guilt, your shame to that goat. And then at the end, after everyone has gone through that goat being taken as far away as possible so that it separates you and your sins. You see, Jesus was both of those for us. Not only do we have the forgiveness of sins by the shedding of his blood in our place, but it also tells us in Acts chapter 4 that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You see, it is in Christ and Christ alone. That is where our faith is found. That is where our faith is placed. You see, it's in his sacrifice and in his promise that we find forgiveness and that we find salvation. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. See, how awesome is that? Not only for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, those who profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, those who believe that we are here today celebrating a true event that happened thousands of years ago, that he rose from the grave in both victory, or in victory over both sin and death, that we find forgiveness, that Jesus has set us free. He has liberated us from our sins, not just for one year, but for eternity. He has separated our sins from us for those who believe in his name, those who believe in what he has done for us. And then the next thing that faith does for us is, or the reason for our need of faith is the way that we are called to live. As followers of Christ, we are called to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul actually writes when he's speaking again to the church in Corinth, for we live by faith, not by sight. You see, a lot of people will take that verse And they'll say, okay, see, you're supposed to have a blind faith. You're not supposed to question. You're not supposed to study. You're not supposed to learn. You just have a blind faith. You can't see what God is supposed to tell you or what God's telling you to do. You can't see God, so how do you believe in him? How can you have faith in something you can't believe? Well, the example we hear all the time is you feel the wind. You can't see it, but you know that it's there. You can't see the tiniest molecules with your naked eye that is around us that puts us all together, but we know and we believe that they are there. We see the result. You see, God is not afraid of our questions. God is not even afraid of the doubts that creep in our minds that say, okay, God, if you're real, then why does this happen? God, if you're real, how come you haven't done this? How come you haven't healed this person? Why would you allow such things to take place? God's not afraid of those because God invites us into his word that we could build our faith. You see, it's in the difficulties in life that actually give us strength, that actually mature and grow our faith. If you've ever exercised or worked out, you understand that it's not always easy and it does not always feel good. But the results are better because you come out on the other side stronger and ready to take on more than you could before. You see, that's what life is like. And that's where life is hard because we do have to go through difficult times and difficult seasons. But God is not afraid of those questions and those worries and that uncertainty, but rather he invites us to seek him. To seek him in the midst of fellow believers. To seek him when we are alone in his word. When we need him to speak to us. He invites us to seek and to find him. All you have to do is look. Be willing to let go of everything else. And be still. And be quiet in that moment. That you can hear his voice. That you can hear him speak. That is my prayer over us today. In this house, those watching online, and every other person gathered around the entire world. May we just be still. May we be quiet to hear his voice. To hear him speak. And exactly what he would have to say to us. You see, another reason that we need faith. And what faith does for us. Is our faith can be an encouragement to one another. You see, Paul actually writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You see, the way that you live your life and the way that I live mine by faith can be an encouragement because I could be going through something. A season in my life that you've already dealt with. You've already faced it. And in that time, I've been able to witness what you've done and how you were able to carry yourself, how you were able to keep your joy by the faith that you have and by the way that you have lived your life. 1 Peter 2, verse 12 actually says this, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." You see, not only can we encourage each other by the faith that we have and by the way that we live it out, but we can even point others who do not even profess Jesus as Lord, who do not believe in him, we can even point them to him. Because when they see us going through a difficult time, or a difficult season, they ask, how are you doing that? How can you face such trials? How can you face persecution? How can you face a hardship and still have a smile on your face? How can you be so kind to people who are so against you? You see, our faith encourages one another, even those who do not believe. And then they come and their question to us may be, how do I find that faith? What do I do to get that faith? How can I have what you have? See, we have to be prepared to give an answer for that hope, for our faith. But how can we give an answer for our faith if we don't learn? If we don't study, if we don't ask God to reveal himself to us, if we don't ask God to make known his mysteries to us, if we don't truly even know what we believe, how can we point others to Jesus? How can we confidently give them assurance in the worst times of their life when we can't answer that for ourselves? And that leads me into the third and final question that I want us to go through today. It's simply, how do we get faith? You see, this one's kind of tricky, and it's hard. You gotta be careful how you walk through this, because you think that faith is what we believe, right? We know that is by the definition. But there's more to it than that. Our faith is more than just what we believe. But our faith is actually a gift. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, we have to be careful how much stock we put in ourselves. To think that, hey, I just come to this great conclusion that God is great on my own and in my own knowledge and forethought and wisdom because I'm that smart, because I'm that wise. You see, but we have to remember what Jesus actually said to his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?'" This morning, I'm asking you, who do you say Jesus is? And their reply came from Simon Peter, and he answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." You see, we don't just come to this conclusion on our own, but rather God orchestrates everything in our lives to put us at the point and at the place that our ears can be open to hear the truth, that our eyes can be cleared, that we may see the truth and the glory of God wrapped in Jesus Christ, that our hearts may be changed, that we may believe. Romans 12, 3, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Because we have trouble with that, right? If we're honest, we have a hard time putting a lot on ourselves, thinking that maybe we are a little bit better than other people. But rather than thinking more highly than you ought, think of yourself with sober judgment, with a clear mind, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. You see, God gives us this faith. He allows us this opportunity to believe from hearing the gospel, from hearing his word preached. John 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying again, and he says this: "My prayer is not for them alone," talking about his disciples and those who already believe. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through this message," through their message, through the gospel that they share, through the word that they preach. And then Paul writes again to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. It's not by fancy, well put together words, but rather it is just about Jesus and hearing about Christ and who he is and what he has done and hearing his word preached. Paul is great at speaking to people and being blunt and honest. And I can hear him saying this to us now from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law?" He's asking, did you receive the Spirit by the works that you performed, by the things that you've done, by the number of times that you've been to church on Sunday, by the amount that you've given in the tithe box, by the number of offerings that you've gone above and beyond? Is that how you received faith? Is that how you received the Holy Spirit? Or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you not trying to finish by means of the flesh? You see, we can't forget where our faith comes from and where our faith is found, and that is only in Jesus Christ. It is not by how good we are or how hard we work or how many messages we get to preach or how many Bible studies we go to or how much we read our Bible every day. Our faith comes from hearing, and from hearing the word of God about Jesus Christ. The last scripture I want to read to you today comes from Ephesians chapter 1. I'm telling you, Paul is great at writing and expressing to those he was writing to then and even to us now. He says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, when you put your faith in Jesus, when your eyes were opened and your ears were opened. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." By believing, by having faith, we don't profess to other people that we are perfect or that we have it all together. My faith is not in myself. My faith is not in how good I can preach a message or how good I am at studying God's word. Because to be honest, I don't think I'm good at either of those. But that anything that good comes from that, anything good found in my life is from Jesus. It's from God the Father. By believing and having faith, we do not rely on our works and good deeds for salvation of our souls, but it's the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. By believing, we place our faith and hope in the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, the word of God, the truth that Jesus came down from heaven, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus paid our debt on the cross, that he died for us. He was dead completely, which is what makes his resurrection and his victory even more amazing and incredible. And yes, it's hard for the world to believe it. And those who don't follow Jesus have a hard time thinking that it's true and accepting it. It only comes when God reveals it to us by the hearing of his word, through his power, and through his Holy Spirit alone. May our ears be open to hear today, in this moment, in this time, whether you are in this house or you're watching online, may you hear God's voice today. May your eyes be open, that we can live a life of certainty, a life of confident assurance. Oz Guinness, who is a scientist and a believer, actually said this about doubt. The Latin word for doubt, dubiter, comes from an Aryan root meaning two. To believe or have faith is to be in one mind with regard to accepting something as true. To disbelieve is to be in one mind about rejecting it. To doubt is to waver between the two. kind of stuck in the middle between believing and doubting all at once, and so to be in two minds. You see, living a life without faith, living a life full of doubt, is unsettling, is uneasy, is difficult, and it is hard. But that is not what God has called us to. Rather, to have faith, to have confidence, to have solid ground to stand on. Today, I pray that you can leave here with faith in Jesus Christ, a solid ground to stand on, an anchor in the midst of the storm, that you're not blown and pulled and pushed wherever the seasons of life may take you. As we close and you see the band come up, whether you have followed Jesus for 65 years or whether you've followed Jesus for the last 65 seconds of your life, or even if you don't know Jesus at all right now, in this time and in this moment, we all have a next step. In your seats when you came in this morning, you had a card on your chair. You had a pen. And on it is simple. It says, "My next step is." This morning we've talked about faith, where our faith is, and the fact that our faith may be as small as a mustard seed, or maybe God's given us enough faith to fill the ocean. What is your next step of faith? What is God calling you to? Because I promise you, you have one. Whether you know it clearly or not, you have one. We all do. I have one. Everyone on this stage has a next step. What is yours? I challenge you in this moment, in this time now, as we are winding down and as we are closing, I challenge you to ask God, what is my next step? To be silent, to be obedient to whatever that may be. Write it down on your card. And then during this next song, as we get ready to worship, as we get ready to ask God to move in our lives, I want you again to be obedient to the Spirit. And if God calls you to move, I want you to move. We have baskets sitting up here, one on each side of the stage. I challenge you to write your next step of faith. And then I challenge you again to be obedient, to listen to the Spirit. And if the Spirit calls you to move, bring it up here and drop it in the basket. For some, that may be something that you've been thinking about and pondering for a while. For others, this may be something that God reveals to you in this moment in time. But by God's grace, through faith, you no longer have to live a life that is uncertain, that is doubtful, but rather that is full of hope. And you can step into a life of faith in Jesus Christ. So if you would, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes in this moment. Lord Jesus, I pray for you to move. I pray for you to stir in our hearts right now. To open our ears to hear exactly what you would have us to hear. To remove the scales from our eyes that we may see you more clearly than we ever have in our entire life. Lord, rather than the amount of faith we have, may we be focused in this moment about the purity of the faith that we have. Whatever the next step is that you are calling us to, God, help us to be obedient in that. Help us to have clarity on that. And for those who are here, as you write your next step down, as you bring it to the front and when you drop it in the basket, we're going to have people in the back of the auditorium that are there to pray with you, to encourage you, to answer questions that you may have about this next step that you are being called to. I just pray that as you move, if you want to speak with someone, if you need prayer, just come to the front, drop your card in the basket, and then around the edges, if you'll just walk to the back, there will be people ready to pray with you. Now, if you were here this morning and you walked in or you joined us online and you don't know what faith is or you had no faith in who Jesus was, but through this time, through this worship and this message, God has opened your ears and revealed to you the glory of his son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that in this moment, your next step will be to know him better, to take hold of that faith that God has given you. And we would love to pray with you through this and what that means and what your next step may be. So find someone in the back as well, and we would love to pray with you. And if you're online, email us at prayer@thevine.tv or hello@thevine.tv, and just let us know what your next step is, and we will be there to answer any questions you may have and to encourage you. Lord Jesus, in this moment, as we prepare for worship, I just pray that you are speaking to us, that you are moving. For those here or those online that may be coming to Jesus for the first time, that may have had their eyes and ears open and their hearts changed for eternity, I pray that they will take a step of faith even farther into that. And if that is you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And as we pray, we're going to pray together, because this is not just a prayer of, hey, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but this is a prayer of, hey, I want to know you more, Jesus. I want to take a step of faith. I want to purify and mature the faith that I have. So if you would, if that is you, I just want you to pray this with me aloud. Lord Jesus, I need you. I come before you. I bow down at your feet. I surrender my life to you. I believe in my heart that you are Lord. I profess with my mouth that you are Lord. Help me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if that was you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time as a brand new born again believer in Christ, as someone for the first time God has revealed the truth to you, when I count to three, I just want to ask you to respond. I just want you to raise your hand up. Or if you're online, I want you to respond. I want you to send us a comment or an email, whatever you have to do to get in touch with us. Because we want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate what God has blessed you with today and the gift of faith. One, two, three. Lord Jesus, move in this time. Help us, Lord, to know where you are calling us, to know that next step of faith that you would have for us to take, that is just only going to draw us closer to you. Lord, as we move through this time and as we enter this time of worship, I just pray that you will be with us, that you will guide us and lead us and direct us in all that we do, God, in everything that you've called us to. Help us to have obedience. Help us to trust you, and to know that your way is greater than ours, that your plan is better than anything we could ever come up with. Lord, move in this time. Stir in our hearts. Open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear exactly what you would have for us to do. During this song, as the worship team begins, move as the Lord leads you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
You guys stand up and sing with us. Joseph's tomb, the end. Sing.